Do you believe that God's truth is the way to life and victory? It is. These are the words of life. The Bible, these are the words of truth. The manual has already been written for this life. There are thousands of books that are out, and people say, well, this is the new thing. This is the way you do it. We have a new method this way. This was written hundreds of years ago, portions of it thousands of years ago, and it is the way to live life, period. And so the more our life conforms to this word, the more we're led by the Spirit of God, and He'll never leave you in opposition to the word. Your life, my life, will be stronger, will live at a higher level, will exude more of the life of God, will walk in more of the life that the world is seeking. Everybody, they're looking for God. And even Christians, you can be a Christian and be a carnal Christian. That means you're flesh-led. That means you're naturally led. You're not led by the Spirit of God. And you can be wanting more, and it's really wanting more of God. You want your life to line up with His life, with His words. That's what people want. When they see goodness in somebody, it's they're seeing, they want God. We're created that way. We want Him. We want His ways. Now, your flesh doesn't always like it. You might say, well, I want that, but you go to implement it. Your flesh says, we don't want that. Well, you just have to tell your flesh to get out of the way. I'm not saying that's easy, but it isn't hard from a point perspective of to understand. If you just understand that as you go to implement what God has told you to do, you may get opposition from your flesh. You may get opposition from your unrenewed mind. That's why we're renewing our mind this morning to what the Word says, to think differently. Do you realize everyone in here, including myself, we have parts of our understanding that don't line up with the Word of God? You might as well say amen, because it's so. Anyway, every one of us. Nobody has 100% correct doctrine. Did you know it? My doctrine, I strive to line up with the Word of God, but I have not arrived. I don't have the full counsel of God, know everything the way I ought to know. I'm learning. 10 years from now, I will be further than I am now. Every human on the face of the earth is walking that way. Anybody that tells you different, that they say, this is the complete truth, this is the complete truth. But you can read the same scripture from now till the day you die and not get everything out of it. Do you believe it? And this is more than one scripture. This God is vast, and He knows all. He knows everything. And to say I've arrived, I know it all, I have perfect doctrine, is to say that you know the way God knows. The Bible says we know in part. We see in part. We see as through a glass darkly, we don't see completely clearly. That doesn't mean we're walking around like, you know, blind people in the dark either. You know, you can't see and it's dark outside and nobody can see and you're just bumping into things. No, I didn't say we don't know anything. I said we don't know everything. You ought to know. Here's the key. Walk in the light that you do know and you'll get more light. You don't need more light if you don't walk in the light you have. You know, so many people are looking, they want the light 100 miles down the road and their flashlight is right in front of them and they won't walk there. They say, I'm not going to walk there because I want to know where I'm going to go 100 miles from now. And it doesn't work that way. If God shows you, do this, make this change, what should you do? Make this change. You know what will happen? When you do this, when you act on it, you'll get more. But some people stop right here and they just sit and they don't ever go any further. Because they won't do the next thing. They won't do what God told them. And this is how we all grow. So this week, I mean, we are getting set even right now to come up a level, potentially. We have light is coming even right now. Light will come. The anointing is there to show up. The Spirit of God is moving to illuminate our hearts and minds. Even on this subject we're talking about even right now, about being doers and acting. If we'll act on it this week, it opens us up to have more, to see more. to learn more, to understand more for our life, and then our lives can just keep going up and up and look more and more like Jesus. We hit situations that used to flatten us, and we walk more and more like the Master would walk. We come up against something, we start to talk like Him. We start to act like Him. We become closer to Him. We're transformed into Him, His image. I didn't say you were God. You are in His image. We have the Spirit of Almighty God living inside of us. We ought to act and begin to look like our Father, like our family. Amen? Matthew 6, 24. Let's look on your sheet. This is reviewing. So we've been in a series called Seek First the Kingdom of God. In Matthew 6, 24 and then 31, that's our text. We said in verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money. We'll see that. Verse 31, we've been going over all the verses in between, but we've gone over several times. If you missed those, I encourage you to go back on the website and get the previous messages, because we can't go back and cover all that again. And we are building. We are building one upon another and going further. And so it will help you if you'll go back and listen to them. So we have covered some of these verses in between, but really we're focusing on these that we have here. Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. What things? All the things your Father knows you need. All the things the world is seeking. Like we're saying, people are seeking truth. They think they're always looking for a better way to do things. And that's the trouble. People think that we're constantly getting higher as a human race. Well, we may know some things technologically, but I'm telling you, nobody in here is living 900 years like the first humans were. We've actually gone down quite a bit. The world has changed a lot. We're not at the pinnacle of humanity right now. No, a lot of stuff has gone down. Just look around. You say this is the pinnacle? No. It's nothing like what was created. So when people think we're constantly growing and knowing more and more, we may in some areas, but in a whole lot of areas, we're getting stupid. Why? Because as a people, we're casting off God's principles. And that means you're a fool. That means as society, we're being foolish. Think we're wise, but have become fools. Think we're so smart that we start doing things that our Creator said, don't do that, don't do that, that's the wrong way. If He said, do not do it, you ought to just say, that's it, I don't need to hear anymore, that's the truth, I won't do it, I won't even come near it, because He said don't do it. What if you don't understand why not to do it? He told you not to do it. He told you that's wrong. You don't have to go through and find out for yourself and then go, oh, yeah, it was wrong. Here, let me tell you my experience. You don't need to have the experience to know something is wrong and to avoid it. You don't need to wreck your life before you decide, you know what, God said not to do that. I'm not touching it. I'm not touching anything that looks like it. I'm staying away from it. Parents, when you tell your children to not do something, tell them, you stay away from that. They don't need to know why it's a good idea. You know, I know one of my children, Andrew, when he was little, we had a, you know, it's just the way kids are, but he was little, and we lived in our house in Oklahoma, and we had a fireplace, and it had glass on it, and it was a gas-operated fireplace, and it, you know, it had a mantle, and there was a good, you know, mount. It wasn't just right on the floor or anything, but we told him, you stay away from it. Hot. Hot. Well, one day he put his hand right up. It's not that it would, you know, it's not going to scar him, but the glass just gets a little bit, you know, it gets warm when the fire is going on, and he put his hand right up there, and yeah, it hurt him. Well, he didn't have to do that. I'm not getting on Andrew. It's just a kid, right? It's just an example. He didn't have to do that. Now, he was little, and, you know, he's learning and all that. But our children, we know, you know, you don't do this. Why? Because we know some things that they don't know. Now, this is so clear to us as parents. Like, look, you really want to do that? You really want to go do that? I mean, especially as they get older, they think they know more. You know, no, don't do this. And we expect them to fall. Why? Because we know some things they don't know. Do you think God knows some things that we don't know? Even in our infinite wisdom right now in 2015, we think we're so advanced. You think our technology, that heaven is going, ooh, they really have some stuff. I think our stuff looks like ox carts and stuff to them. We think our cars are really cool. They're like, no. No, that's nothing. That's very primitive technology. You think that's technology? I hardly even call it technology. It's like calling, you know, some of the old tools technology. Well, it is. It's technology. You know, hatchets and things. Those are technology. But we would think, no, we're really high tech now. We know some things. God would say, yeah, you know a little. How much do we know relative to God? Very little. It's not even really worth it. It's not the same as you relative to your child. That's not even a fair comparison. That's not even remotely. Us to the Almighty that has always existed, we are not. I mean, you could, there's just not even any sense talking about it. We know next to nothing. And so when he says, don't do this, we don't have to know why. Well, show me, prove it to me. That's an arrogant question. You're talking to the Almighty. You think it's arrogant for your child to ask you, how about you talking to the one that's always been, you've been around for a few decades, and you're saying, well, prove it to me. I don't really get it. Explain it to my infinite mind. I want to understand before I obey you. That's complete arrogance. If he said, don't do it, if he said, do it, we ought to say, yes, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm not going to do. I'm doing it the way he said it, because his way is the best way. And I am not going to figure out in my short time here and reading what past men have said, I'm not going to figure out a better way than what he has already ordained. Now this is so basic, yet very few people relatively on the face of the earth are approaching life like, no, what God said, that's it. I'm not saying there's none. I'm just saying there's a whole lot of people that are like, what God? Which is, again, just really. So the person that created you, that is the all-powerful one that you were meant to worship, you say, he doesn't exist. Right now, I don't care what else comes out of your mouth, that's foolish. So there's a lot of people that this, what we're talking about, would not make any, it just is not wisdom, is not the way they would live life. But I believe that we're different. And that people like that would hold the word of God as precious. And when he tells us to do something, that we say, okay, that's the way I'm doing it. I don't care if my mind needs to be changed. Okay, so my dad did it different, or my grandfather did it different, or my mom did it different, or my aunt or uncle did it different, or my family, you know, they've come from 14 generations and they've done it this way. But if I find out that it contradicts what God said, that other stuff just ought to go out the door. I ought to say, that's it, we're changing. As for me in my house, if it's you as a single or whatever, we're changing. We're doing it this way. Because the light has come on this. I see what God's saying. I see it's different. I see the word. And that's the way I'm doing it. That's what I'm purposing in my heart to do it. Not arrogantly, not like I'm going to do it. It's like, God, you told me to do it, therefore I can do it. Because if you told me to do it, you've enabled me to do it. You would not tell me to do something and say there's no way to do it, but here, do it anyway. That would be unjust. God is not that way. So if he tells us to do something, the power is there. The enablement's there. But what do we have to do? Submit our will. Say that my mind, okay, fine. I have some thoughts in my head that disagree with this scripture. You might as well automatically say, I'm wrong. The scripture's right, I'm wrong. Mine, we're changing. Mine, we're going to find out a different way. Flesh, you may have done this for 15 years this other way, or 30 or 40 or 50. You're changing. You will obey me. You, the spirit, your spirit. You live in an earth suit. This is your earth suit. You get around it. This is not the real you. You know, we're looking out through these two windows we call eyes. But this is not me. That's not you. We're just getting around this high, you know, advanced machine. All it is an advanced machine. It's like you're in a robot just controlling it. You have a soul. You have your personality, but this is not us. So when I say body, machine, you're going to change. You may have gotten to some habits. You may think you're going to do it a certain way. You're changing. Mind, you're going to line up with the Word of God. Amen. If we'll have that attitude and continue to have that attitude, we'll see that we grow. Because if we line up with the Word of God, we're going to change. We're not going to change for the worse. We're going to change for the better. Because His way is the right way. It is the right way. There is nothing that's going to be invented. No man's going to come up with something that trumps it. You believe it?
Yes.
Look at Matthew 6:24, New Living Translation. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. It'll flow. If you're going to seek the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously, He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. It doesn't mean you don't plan. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to go forward and figure out everything. You just need to know what you need to know. And God will make sure you know what you need to know today if you're seeking Him. If you put Him first, if you go to Him, Lord, what should I be doing? And when the word comes that you should be making some adjustments, then you just decide, I'm going to do it that way, and I'm going to do it now. I don't have to worry about, you know, the next 50 years. I have to make this decision now. I'm going to change this, and I believe that it'll lead me to the next thing. Let's look at Luke 16. Now, this is reviewing. Luke 16:10, it says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." We spent a lot of time just on that part in a past service. You cannot. Say cannot. So if anybody tells you you can, that's false. See, because you can't take your orders from two places. In other words, there isn't two highest priorities. Either you're supposed to be doing one thing or you're supposed to be doing the other thing any given time in your life. Did you know it? There really is one thing you're supposed to do. Now you say, but yeah, but these things are equal. No, if you'll serve God, if you'll follow Him, He'll tell you what to do in these other areas. And any given time of the day, now don't go nuts with this, but there really is one place and one thing you're supposed to be doing. How can it be otherwise? Because there's not two of you. Right? So what are you supposed to be doing with your time? Well, only you and the Lord can find that out. You'll have principles in the Word that will tell you what to do, but what you're supposed to do for your particular life, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you and guide you. But there isn't 15 things you ought to do. You can't save the world. I can't save the world. Does everybody acknowledge that's true?
Yes.
There are way too many people. You're not going to reach everybody. So what's your part? How are you going to know it? You have to know God and follow Him. He's going to tell you, this is what I want you doing. And there's not 15 things. There are not 15 things that you're supposed to be doing. There is something that you're supposed to be doing for this particular time in your life, and you don't have to worry about all the rest of the things. It's okay to think about things. It's okay to have a plan, but those things have to be based on the Word of God and on His plan for your life. In other words, you can't take a cookie cutter plan and say, this is what you ought to be doing when you're 25. This is what you ought to be doing when you're 40. It does not work that way. Not if you're going to walk with the Lord. It doesn't work anyway, because no human on the face of the earth knows what's going to happen to them. You can have tentative plans, but as we all know, if you've lived for any length of time, you don't know the future. You don't know what's going to come up. A lot of people had certain things they thought they were going to do, and they didn't do them because stuff changed. Young people sometimes don't get that. They go, well, why don't you just do all this? Well, you know, you live life, and there's certain things that come up. Now, I'm not saying we don't have any control over anything. If we know God and follow Him and do what He tells us to do, He knows what's coming, so He's going to get us where we need to be. So the fact is, we don't have to worry about all that. People act like they can control everything and their plan's just going to work independently of the world going on. It does not happen. Does it? So you can't control it. I can't control it. I can control things that God has told me to take authority over and that I have authority over my life, but I can't control other people. If I do what I need to do and be obedient to God and take my part, then I'm doing what I need to do in my part. I have authority over certain things. Somebody's not going to come into my house and do certain things to me because I have authority there. But there's a lot of people, I can't control them. So I just got to make sure I'm doing what the Lord would have me to do and go forward. And that means I have to serve Him. And there's a thing that I'm supposed to be doing at any given time. It says, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or else be loyal. He will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now look at the New Living Translation, Luke 16:10. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you will be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? If you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? If you can't be faithful on your job with what is another man's, they've hired you to take care of certain things, but you don't own it. You're supposed to do what you're told to do and be faithful in that because you are hired to do a job and to be a steward of certain things. Those things don't belong to you. Amen? And people think, well, I would run my business so different, but they're not being faithful. They're not being a good employee, but they make excuses and say, well, that's because it's not mine. I don't agree with what's going on. That has nothing to do with it because it's not yours. They can run the business the way they want to run the business because they own it. This is not popular. People think it ought to all center around me. I'm working here, so everything ought to center around me and cater to me. That's not the way it is. Now, I'm not saying people ought to be treated wrong, but a whole lot of what people think they're treated wrong in today's day and age is not even close. It's like no more like they're not being catered to, so they think it's wrong. It's unjust. That's not true. That's not true. We ought to do what we ought to be faithful in our place of employment. If you don't own the company, you ought to do the best job you can with the directions you have to fulfill the vision of whatever place that you're working for, because they're paying you to help them do something. You say, well, I don't like this place. I don't like the people. I don't agree with them. Well, number one, ask yourself, is this where I'm supposed to be working? And if it is, now your problem is not with the person, it's with the Lord. If God told you to work here, and this is the right place to work, and you're going to complain about it, you have a problem with the Lord. And unless He moves you to a different place, unless He tells you to do something else, it doesn't matter. You not thinking things are quite right is not the Holy Spirit moving you somewhere else. That's you moving you somewhere else. And again, so either you need to be faithful in what is another man's. Verse 13, it says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot. Now, verse 1 Timothy 6. Let's turn over there. We ended up here last week. I want to kind of pick up there. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. Everybody there? It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You're not going to be taking anything with you when you leave. I'm not going to. It's going to stay here. You can pass it down to your children, but it's not going anywhere. And the Bible does talk about a good man gives an inheritance to his children's children, but it's not all monetary. It ought to be heritage, spiritual heritage, character, a lot of things. Verse 8, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Verse 9, it says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. We talked about, we spent some time here last week. I encourage you to go listen to that if you weren't here. But people that desire to be rich, you fall into temptation. You're tempted if you desire to be rich more than you desire to do God's will. You fall into temptation. In other words, if anything, so we talk about serving. We're talking about seeking first the kingdom of God, and that money is a major pull on people. Money is just a means of exchange. That's all it is. It's not a goal in and of itself. At the end of the day, you can't take any with you. It's just a means to get around on this earth. That's it. So we back up and say, well, what are we supposed to be doing on this earth? Well, we know certain things that are guidelines in the Word of God, but only the Spirit of God can tell you exactly what you're supposed to be doing, what you're supposed to be doing now. He maybe will give you a glimpse of where you're going, what you're going to be doing, but he's not going to give you the whole picture. It's useless to try to think you're going to have the whole picture. You won't. Because God is a faith God. He'll give you enough that you can get started. You may not have all the answers, but he's going to let you know what you need to know so that you can take a next step, so that you can grow, so that you can get the next step, and you can walk through your existence here on the earth in that way. You're not going to get the whole picture. Anybody tells you, well, this is the whole lot, everything you're going to do, that's foolish. Because God does not operate that way. He is a faith God. You are going to have to trust him. You're going to have to act on the word if you want to live godly and have his best. You will never know everything that's out before you. When we moved out here to Andover, I'll tell you, we did not know one single person in this room. All we knew is that we were supposed to start a church in Andover, Mass. I had never been here until we took that trip. We took a trip out here beforehand, several months beforehand, to say, you know, kind of check and see, are we nuts? You know, are we nuts or is this something that's real? And we get out here. I mean, you laugh, it's funny, but at the same time, it's like just to get a sense inside, is this what we're supposed to be doing or was this just a figment of our imagination? And so we came out here, but nobody, God did not say, you know, such and such, and I can name your names, are going to be here and they're going to come at this time. We did not know from a natural point of view. God did not give us the whole picture. He gave us a glimpse, and always, every step has been, we know enough to go to the next step. Like with this building up there, you say, well, where are we going to be in several years? I don't know. I know that this is the next step, and we'll get in there, and we'll go to the next step. And who's going to be here? I don't know, but this is what God has called us to do at this point. I believe that with everything I have. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it. And all the resources will be there. But God hasn't given me the whole picture. He hasn't. So what are you going to do? You're going to walk by faith. What if I said, well, we don't have the money to do that. We don't have the people to do that. There were temptations for that. People came to me and said, you're nuts. You don't need that much space. Well, I'm not stupid. I know how many people we have, and I understand I don't need all that space now. That's beside the point. Well, you do, it's going to cost this much more money. You know, they're not giving all that space for free. That costs money. Well, you know, how is all that going to work out? Some people say, well, you have to know. You got to know where all that's going to come from before you would step out. See, then what is dictating what I do? Money and understanding. If I say I can't, I don't know how we would do that. I don't see where it would come, or I don't know where I got to see the people and then I'll move. How is that? That's not the way it works. So if I say I can't do that, we can't afford it, we can't do this or that. But what if God is telling you to do something in your life? What if the Lord's saying this is the next step, and you say, well, I can't do that because I don't have the finances to do it. Okay, so what are you going to believe? Who's going to dictate what you do? But this is the question you have to ask, because this will come up. See, if you desire to be rich, not that rich is bad. We talked about this last week. Desire to be rich is not saying you're going to have $1 billion. It's just you're wanting money. And it's tempting. If you do that, you're falling to temptation to get off the course. Because at the end of the day, why are we here? What are we doing here right now? If we're Christians, we believe we're doing the Lord's work, forwarding His kingdom. And if you are tempted to say, but it's the money, you're going to be tempted to get off the plan of God for your life. You will be tempted. Because it's going to look, you're going to say, yeah, but, and your mind's going to say, yeah, but the money. If ever you go back to the money, it should be a light, it should be a warning that, wait a minute, what did God say? Because the money's secondary. Do you think God has a problem with money? He doesn't. $1 million is nothing to Him. $1 billion is nothing. You know, like one man said, Keith Moore always says this, He creates planets. Solar systems. He's not worried about money. He's not. On the other hand, people doing what He tells them to do and having faith in Him, that's something else. That's a different thing. He treasures that. The Bible says His eyes run to and fro over all the earth, looking for somebody that will trust Him and believe Him and have faith in Him. That's precious. Money, what? You know, I could just imagine God saying, what, you made that decision because you thought you needed more money or you thought you couldn't do it? Who are you dealing with? Could you imagine you had a really, really rich uncle or parent or, you know, somebody that just was, just resources was just not an issue. And they asked you to do something, and you said, well, I don't know if I have, you know, this person's asking you to go do this. And you came back to them and they asked you, well, did you do it? Well, no, I didn't. Why? I was worried about the money. I didn't know if I could afford it. Who asked you to do it? If this person asked you to do it, that's not a problem. It's not a problem. On the other hand, you not doing what they told you and asked you to do, that's a problem. They'll take care of the finances. They'll take care of the resources. That's not a problem for them. On the other hand, you get it not doing and not trusting them. That's what's important. Well, how much more with the Lord? It says, verse 9, but those who desire to be rich and fall, desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. How many people are in a place in their lives dealing with stuff? It was never the will of God. It was never what they wanted to do in their lives. It was never what God had for them to do. But they're there nonetheless. Why? Because they were snared. Because they were looking at the wrong thing. It happens every day. Is that God's will? No, it's not God's will. But we open ourselves up to a temptation and a snare. In other words, we set ourselves up for a trap. If you don't think this way, if you will put God first, there can be a trap set. But it doesn't. It'd be like, you know, you setting a trap for an animal with a food that they'd have no desire to eat. You can set the trap there all day and the animal just go right by. Why? That doesn't bait them. They don't care about it. You know? Sitting a piece of meat there to some animal that only eats vegetables or vice versa, it's just not going to do it. Well, if you could have traps laid for you all day with Satan, things that could be obstacles, but if your eyes are on the Lord and saying, we're not getting off for any of that, they don't have any pull on you. All these things that he would try to get you off on, get you to do, you're just walking right by him. You're just dead to him. Why? Because you just made up your mind, there is one master in my life. There's one. And he has all the resources that I could ever, more than I could comprehend. If he told me to do something, he already knows where everything is coming from. He already knows exactly who's going to be involved. He knows everything about it. My job is to say, did he tell me to do it? If he told me to do it, I don't have to worry about the rest of it. I just have to take the step that he told me to take now, and there's going to be another step. It's his job to figure out all the rest. It's my job to obey. One master. One person that I'm going to serve, that's the Lord. And if I make that my mind up, there might be things that come up that'll try to push me off, but I say, wait a minute, has this prime directive changed? If it hasn't changed, he's told me to be here, I get a temptation to go over here, that doesn't matter to me. Because this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and if this isn't part of it, I'm done. That's all I need to hear. Don't tell me. Don't tell me how much more it's going to be. Don't tell me that it's going to be this and this. If the Lord didn't tell me to go there, that's all I need to know, period. Don't even tell me any more about it. I don't want to hear it. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Can you imagine that? For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, all kinds of dumb stuff, for which some have strayed from the faith, even strayed away from the Lord, in their greediness, trying to get something that they won't be able to take with them, that will not make them happy in and of itself, no amount of stuff. You say, well, if I had some more, I could do this and this. If that's the way you think, it will never be enough. If you think, God, I'm going to serve you. God, didn't we just read? If you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. All the things that you need will be there. But if you think, well, I know what you're saying, but I need this and this. Don't you think God knows that? So still, he's the prime directive. If I go there, these other things have to come. But if I start taking my eyes off him in greed, saying, well, I just want this, I want more, the Bible says that you can pierce yourself through with so much sorrow. Be left shaking your head. It says, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In verse 11 says, but you, O man of God, you could say, you, O woman of God, flee these things. Flee them. If you see stuff that's trying to pull you off, you say, I'm running away from that. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm getting away from it, and I'm going to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Does that sound like seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And all these things are going to follow you. He said if it looks like something is trying to take you away, if you feel like you can sense that this thing is trying to be a snare to you, you don't just mess with it. You don't see how close you can get to it. You run away from it. Because the call of God and you walking in godliness for your family, for your marriage. Let me ask you, how much money is it worth to lose your spouse? How much money is it worth to lose? I'm not saying that they're dead, but to lose the relationship with them, to lose the sweetness of a close relationship, to lose the relationship with your children. How much money? It's worth no amount of money. So God will never put you in a position where that's even a possibility. It's not worth it. We can, in greediness, and like we said last week, people think, well, greediness, that's somebody that wants a whole lot of money. That's not true. You can be moved for just, people do it all the time. It's greed, but it's just they just want a little better deal. Well, have you ever thought about the quality of the product, the quality of the service, the people that you're going to have a relationship with, and they'll do all this kind of stuff for $50. And it costs them, you know, $5,000 over the time they have that thing because, well, I just want a little better deal. It's not always about the deal. There are things that are bigger. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Mark. Look at example here. Mark 10, 17. Mark 10, 17. Everybody there? It says, now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Verse 20, and he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So this person came to Jesus and said, you know, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you follow these, you know the commandments, do them. And this man said, he didn't say, he said, teacher, I've done all these things. And Jesus said, well, he looked at him and he loved him. He looked at him and he said, okay, well, one thing you're missing. And he said, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. And the guy said, that's exactly what I wanted to do. He went and sold everything. He followed Jesus and he was content. Nope. No. That's not what he did. He said he was sad at the word. Look on your sheet there, right above the scripture that we were just quoting. Look at Exodus 20, 1 through 3. It says, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. And this guy saying, well, yeah, I did everything. I've done them all. And Jesus just loved him and located him and said, go sell everything you have and follow me. And the guy was sad. He said, I can't do that. I won't do that. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek above all else. You can serve, you cannot serve God and money. You can't. If Jesus, everybody, you know, this is no light thing. What do you tell him to do? Go your way, sell whatever you have. I mean, it's one thing to talk about this guy, but Jesus just said, everything you have, get rid of it and follow me. Okay? That's easier said than done. But if the principle is, though, if the Lord told you or I to do something, money's secondary. That's the point. What determines what we do? What determines what we do in our lives? We have to ask ourselves the question, what determines what I do? How am I making the decision? You know, somebody, they lay it down. So if the Lord told us to do something, and we weigh the pros on one side and the cons, and part of it's like, well, I don't know if I can afford that. Do I really want to sell it? Whatever. What's the determining factor? We need to ask ourselves that question. I'm saying, what is determining? What is determining it? No, we have to ask ourselves, is it money? Is it fear? Is it what the Lord told me? Am I going to say that whatever God says, I'm going to do it, and everything else is secondary? See, what determines, if you can ask yourselves the question, what is the determining factor in how I make my decisions, will determine where your heart is after. What is it after? So if it's the Lord, you say, well, the Lord told me to do that. This is what his word says. Then you're serving him. But you can be tempted for other things to make the decision for you. Yeah, I'm really feeling like God told me, but. If there's a but, what are you about to say? You're about to say something that God must not have considered. Because if think about it, if the first thing you said was, God, I really believe strongly, God is telling me this. He wants me to do this. But it doesn't matter what is coming after that but. It's about to be something that God evidently did not, either God, no, two things. God didn't tell you. Either God didn't tell you, or you're about to say something that God forgot. That God did not take into consideration. Right? Now, I'm not saying, this goes into being led by God, the Spirit of God. You deciphering between your soul and your spirit, if you're talking about some things and going through and saying, I'm feeling like this, and you're discerning that, that's one thing. If you've determined God wants you to do something, but I'm not going to do that because, then that's a major problem. And it's usually not that blatant. It's not that obvious. You won't tell yourself that way, and you won't be prompted to be that clear. It's more like, yeah, I mean, I want to do this, but you know, it's so expensive. And if you're telling somebody else, it's like they would totally get that. Like that's a real rationalization. You see, at that point, it's not the Lord determining your next step. It's this other thing. And in this case, it could be money. What deterred this man from following the very clear direction of God? Money. It's money. And we'd like to say that it doesn't matter. If God tells me to do something, I'm in. I will do it. Jesus located this man completely. You believe you've done everything that has been asked of you. We'll do this. And the man shrunk. He was sad. He said, he just walked away. He couldn't. Why? Because he had a lot of money. Now, you don't have to have a lot of money, and God does not have to tell you to sell all for this to be an issue. We need to know that if we're tempted and we see that the money is the reason why we would do something or not do something, that's a flag that something else that money has a greater hold on us than it should. Because our heart, why are we here? Why are we walking through this earth? It's the only reason you're still here is because the plan of God is still going forth, and all the people that are going to believe have not believed, and that the gospel is still going forward, and it does take resources to get that done. And when the Bible says, when the gospel is preached to all the peoples in all the nations of the earth, when everybody that is going to believe has believed, then the end will come. That's not done yet. So while it's not done, what's my part? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? Who do you want me to hook up with? What resources do you want me to give? That's a question. Anything that says, yeah, but I can't do that because, and it's monetary, it doesn't matter. We're focusing on this part, but it could be anything. But this is the part we're focusing on because he said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. See, there's an element of trust there. Do you believe that had this man done, and you know, some people say, well, this could have been, you know, different people that, this young man was somebody that came back and, you know, changed his mind. Well, we're not sure. But if this man didn't, can you say that if this man would have followed Jesus, if Jesus was asking him to do something, and instead of walking away, he said, all right, I'm following you. Do you believe that God would have taken care of him?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus had a way to take care of this man?
Yes.
So it comes down to trust. It's like, do I believe that what we're talking about, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, doing what he told me to do, that if I do that, actually what he said, that all these things shall be added to you, that's actually true. That's what it comes down to. Because I'm making a decision, and if it affects monetarily, like this man, it affected everything he had. Does he trust Jesus enough to say, if I do this, you're going to take care of me? Now, there's all kinds of levels of that we deal with. If the Lord's telling us to do something, or it comes to light that we're supposed to obey him in a certain area with our finances, I know this is very close. This is very close to where we live, right? People can gloss over this all they want and act like this isn't an issue, but we all know that what we do in life, we need money to survive. I mean, you need somebody that has money. You can say, well, I just need somebody to give it. Yeah, but they had to have money. In this day and age, you need money, a means of exchange, to survive. Most everybody in this world is doing something, or you have done something in the past, that is providing for your livelihood right now. You either saved it, you used to work, or you know, somehow somebody is there's some way that you're being provided for, and you are either were doing something or you are doing something to generate that. And how do you do that? You give your very life to do that. And in return, either you may own your own business, you may work for somebody else, but somehow the money is coming to you because of what you're doing. So we talk about what we're doing with our money. We are partially talking about what we're doing with a good portion of our life, because we took our life to get that money that now we're going to do something with, right? This is very, very important. This is not a side issue. This is very central. And the body of Christ, I mean, some people, they don't want to talk about money at all because, well, you know, you'll offend somebody. It'll offend you if you go and make bad decisions and end up like Timothy was talking about, where you've pierced yourselves through with many sorrows. That will offend you. Well, won't it? That we do the wrong thing? On the other hand, if we do what the Lord would have us to do, we like we read in the offering, Proverbs 10:22 says that there is no sorrow, that the blessing of the Lord will make one rich, that if we'll follow him, that he will take care of us, and there won't be any of that sorrow. This is a big deal. I mean, this is not a side issue. This is one of the main things that how we act with this, says a large, with finances, speaks highly or very loudly about our heart. Look real quick on your sheet back here. In Luke, I like the way it says in Luke 16:10, it says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous or just natural money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." But notice he said that if you're dishonest or unfaithful, I like the way, unfaithful. If you're not faithful with money, you won't be faithful in greater things. And we look back at this man over in Mark. He has been faced with a choice. The Lord has told him to do one thing with his money, with his finances. Don't make this some parable that just doesn't mean anything. This is like God asking you to do something with your life, with your money, which is exactly what he does. And we know clearly, you have to discern what he's asking. Things that line it, and we're going to get into some of the things, the way he talks about money in his word and what we ought to do. There are general principles that he talks about every one of us should be doing with our money. Then there is specifically what you ought to be doing, and he will lead you by his Spirit. But when we talk about those things, we have to ask ourselves, and just be real. Don't be religious about it. Don't gloss over it, because it's a very important thing. Because we are here for a very short period of time on this earth. Very short. And God has given each of us very precious time here that we trade so many times for money to live. And so if we're trading our time for money, which that's a good thing, if that's what God has told us to do, we all do it to some degree. How we do that and what we do with the resulting money, which we traded our life for, is very, very important while we're here. So if he's asking us to do something, we want to make sure, just like this man, if we were asked to do something, it doesn't have to be selling everything we have and giving all of it away, but something smaller, I want you to do this with it. We have a choice. Every one of us has a choice, not based on what a man says, but based on what the Word says and what Jesus is talking about here. What is going to be the determining factor of what we do? How are we going to make that decision? If God asks us to do something, or he tells us this is the way you ought to handle areas in finances, and then we look at our finances, we look at the way the world handles it, we have a choice. And what is going to determine how we make that choice? We can say, yeah, but nobody does that, or I don't know what I would do if I gave that, or whatever. See, at that point, is the Lord determining? We're saying, whatever you say, that's what I'll do. Are we saying, yeah, but, and we go over here and we say this. At that point, we have disregarded what the Lord would have us to do, which if we trust that his way is the right way, that will include everything we need, that we will be content, then we are giving up that for something that is unsure, that we're walking by sight, that we're listening to what the world would say. This parable, or this not parable, but this account makes it very clear. It is in very clear terms. But in our life, it can be a lot muddier because we've been bombarded with so many thoughts that are not based on the Word, that people will actually tell you, oh, no, this is the way it would look. And if you can rationalize it, because people would agree with you, no, nobody should do that. Just look at this. If somebody told you, the Lord told me, and I know people like this. I know one guy, you know, Malta, that's mentioned in the book. You know, it's over in... Am I saying the right word? Over in the end of Acts there. Isn't that the island? Yeah, in Acts 28. This island called Malta. It's over near Italy, right side of Italy. Bad island. I know a guy that I went to school with. He was in business and stuff. They sold everything. They sold everything they had. And they moved here. When I was talking to him, he was in the process. He was finishing up Rhema, and he had children. He had a nice family, and he sold everything he had to go to Malta to minister there, to have a ministry in a church there. Sold everything. Now, if you were to tell people, most people, God has told me, number one, you lost them right there. Yeah. You tell somebody, God told me something, most people are going to be like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Right? Yeah. But if you said, God told me, I'm going to sell everything I have, and we're going over and doing this, they would look at you, if they're just normal, natural people, and go, well, okay, if that's good for you. But they're not thinking that's probably a wise move, right? Right. Honestly. Most people are not going to say, yeah, that's a good move, buddy. I want to do the same thing. They're not going to say that. They're going to look at you and say, ooh, hope that works out. Tell me how that works out for you, bud. Right? Are they? Honestly. Yes. Nobody's going to say, most people are not going to go, really? And even a lot of Christians are going to go, well, you better be sure. Right? You better be sure that's God. Right?
Wonder if I should say this or not.
Praise God. Now we'll leave that. But you talking to somebody, now you guys are wondering, but you talking to somebody and saying such a thing. You're not gonna necessarily get people saying, yeah, that's the right thing. So we have to this is very, very black and white, but we have to ask ourselves the question and be honest. Based on what the Word says. We're going to get into some things now, I believe. We're getting in, we're moving up. And we've laid some foundation, but we're going to get into some things. You know, we're talking about what the Bible says about some financial things, which is it's important. Because it determines a lot of how we make decisions and where we get and what the Bible says. Not Jim Preston. Is what the Bible says, and we have to, when we see something in our life, we have to say, okay, am I acting on what the Word says, or am I letting something else determine what I do? And if I do that, then I have to know, if God is really asking me and telling me to do this, He has no harm intended. In fact, just the opposite. It is actually, you know, when we were talking right at the beginning of the sermon, we were saying this is truth, right? Does everybody agree it's truth?
Yes.
So would you say if I saw something in the Word in any area of my life that it told me do this or don't do this, that I would be wise to follow this advice? So when I see something, it's the same thing. If I see something in there, the Lord is asking me or telling me, this is the way you handle this. This is the way you handle your financial things. Now, there's some things that are going to be specific to us. He's going to tell us to get involved with certain things. But there are general principles. If He tells us, and we say, well, yeah, but this, yeah, but that, then we have to know that at this point, the light has come in this area. And if we see it, and we say, yeah, but I don't know about that. Now, we got to know it's the Word. But if we shy away from it and we back off, then we are purpose. We're choosing something where God has said, and we've said, God, this is the best way. This is the right way, and He would have every good thing for me, and He will lead me in a way that I'll have all my needs met, and He'll lead me in a way that I'll be content, and I'll be satisfied with life, and I won't be pierced through with sorrows, and I trust Him. We would say, that's over here, but, and we look at something else, we are choosing a path that is actually going away from Him. And it does not have to be sell all and move to such and such. It's these decisions. And if we make up our mind, all of us, and we can all come up in this area. I believe there's areas that we think, oh yeah, I'm doing that, but there's times we'll come up against something. We have to ask ourselves and be honest, say, why am I making that decision? And if we start realizing, no, I choose. If I see it, if God makes it clear to me, I'll do it. Like we said at the beginning, didn't we all say that?
Yes.
Were we talking about it? We'll do what God has told us to do. And I believe as we get into things, if we'll do that, we'll be blessed. We'll walk at a higher level. Our lives will be more content. We'll be more fulfilled and satisfied than we ever have.
Amen.
Amen. That was really weak.
Amen.
Do you believe this?
Yes.
Do you believe that the Bible covers this area?
Yes.
Folks, I've seen it in my life. I believe it with everything I have. Now, I'm not arrived. I'm not saying I've arrived, but I'm on the right track. I know that I've seen it in my life. And I know that all of us can come to the next level. I know that God's word is full of things that if we'll just obey Him, if we'll just fall in, we'll see things that we said, I never knew it could be this good. I didn't know that it was like this. God, You're so faithful. When you follow Him, you always set yourself up to see the faithfulness of God. Do you believe that this young man, had he said, Jesus, I'll do it. Do you believe he would have had a testimony? He would have seen God's provision like he didn't. I didn't realize it would be like this. I didn't know it would be like this, but God, You're so faithful. Thank You.
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
If we'll walk in faith, if we'll step out in faith, you will never see everything out in front of you. But if you'll just say, God, I see it clearly in Your word. I see what You've said in Your word. I'm going to obey it. I will do it, and I trust You that You'll do just what You said. You will see God be faithful. Because for Him not to be faithful would mean He's a liar in your life, and He is not going to break His word for any single person, ever, ever, ever. Amen. I'm excited. I believe that we're just getting into some things. I believe we're all coming up in a walk at a higher level.